Hi, WPRB. My name is Larry, and this is my Christmas story. My story takes place all the way back in 2001, on the day after Christmas, actually. I was in college at the time, as were all my friends. And those of you that have done the whole college thing can appreciate just how boring that stretch of time between the end of the fall and the beginning of the spring semester can be. You know, you kind of have a couple of days initially where you're done with finals and you rush home. You're reconnecting with friends, you're gearing up for the holiday. But then there's this steep drop-off after Christmas, and it gets really, really boring really, really quickly. And, you know, you're reduced to getting drunk on a golf course or hanging out in somebody's basement or marking time in a diner somewhere. Anyway, my friends and I had experienced this the previous year and decided that this year, this Christmas break was going to be different. This year, we were going to, quote, unquote, do something. We didn't know initially what we were going to do, but we knew that somehow we needed to break up the post-holiday tedium. So we started to brainstorm around Thanksgiving, and we kicked some ideas back and forth, and we eventually settled on a very unusual and a very strange project. Now, for years, we'd cultivated a hatred, a deep-seated hatred, of a local landmark, of a water tower, in fact, a water tower in Washington Township, New Jersey. Now, if you've never been to Washington Township, just go ahead and Google Washington Township Water Tower, and you'll get some sense of what I'm talking about here. I mean, this water tower is ugly. It's an eyesore. It had giant floodlights. It had this giant neon clock face attached to the side, above which was the phrase, time to conserve, which was just sort of slapped up there with, like, no sense of irony whatsoever. It said, Washington Township, a premier community. And Premier was underlined in this sort of smug, triumphalist, you know, my tax bracket is better than your tax bracket kind of way. I think it also might have had the IKEA-type stenciling on the side as well, but whatever the case, it was just this giant, gaudy, suburban monolith that, for us, represented everything that was irrational, that was wrong, stupid, hypocritical about the local status quo. Oh, and also, full disclosure for this, we all identified as communists at the time. It's a little known fact, but throughout the 90s, the Catholic high schools in southern New Jersey churned out a surprisingly large number of left-wing radicals, some of whom actually went on to take up leadership roles in Occupy Philly, but that's a story for another time. Anyway, we settled on doing something with this water tower. We decided that what we were going to do was to pool the engineering know-how in our group, because a couple of our buddies were engineering majors, and we were going to design these tubes that would fit over the floodlights of the water tower. They'd fit over the floodlights, and they would project a giant sickle and hammer onto the side of the water tower that passersby would see, and it would end up in the newspaper, and it would sort of kickstart this conversation about consumerism. And, you know, to be honest, I don't really quite remember what we hoped to accomplish. But that was the idea, that we were going to project the giant sickle and hammer onto the side of this water tower as part of an elaborate post-holiday prank. So we spent the weeks leading up to December the 26th designing and making these tubes, these sickle and hammer commie tubes. We walked through our plans. We came up with very elaborate diagrams. We wrote draft after draft of the note/manifesto we were going to leave at the base of the water tower. You know, explaining our motives, apologizing for any inconvenience, explaining to the maintenance people how to break everything down. You know, we were very careful. We didn't want to cause any property damage or anything like that. So we get that all done, and we finally settle on a name for this project, Operation Infinite Christmas, which we all agreed was a fantastic name. So December the 26th rolls around, and we all gather at our rich friend's house, in the basement, of course, to sort of debrief for the operation. We took this all very seriously. We were divided into teams. There was an alpha team. There was a beta team. There was, of course, omega team. There were walkie-talkies. There were contingency plans. I mean, we got really, really into this. Then we pile into our parents' cars, drive over to the water tower. Everybody in position, operations ago. The two biggest guys in the group who had sort of been deputized to go over the fence and actually do the thing, kind of go over the fence. They take these tubes, they position them over the floodlights. There's this moment where, oh my God, it's finally going to happen, and nothing. Just nothing. Like a faintish red glow on the side of the tower, but nothing like we had hoped for, nothing like we'd imagined. So they try it again and again and again and again, and still nothing. And it becomes very clear very quickly that despite our best efforts and despite the sort of collective intelligence of the group, we had just failed to design something that could do what we wanted to do. So we basically had no choice. We had to slink away. My buddies threw the tubes and stuff over the side, sort of managed to somehow scramble back over the fence, pile into the cars, and off we go into the suburban New Jersey night. Now, of course, we ended up regrouping. We did what any decent Jersey person would do. We went to a diner. We went to the Philly Diner in Runnymede, New Jersey, actually, which I believe is now a sports bar and a shadow of its former self. But at the time, it was basically like a 24-hour mecca for disaffected teenagers. Anyway, so we go to the Philly Diner, we get coffee and cheese fries and hamburgers, and we smoke cigarettes and, you know, lamented our inability to kind of make the foundations of late 20th century capitalism tremble. Looking back on it now, it's a wonder none of us were arrested, but you know, no harm, no foul. Nothing came of it, no one was hurt, no lasting damage was done. I think about that story a lot during this time of the year. I really do look back on it fondly. It represents, I think, for me, a couple of things. You know, first and foremost, it represents just how bizarre and strange and wonderful a place New Jersey can be, especially around the holidays. I don't know if there are kids in other parts of the country that are attempting to do stuff like this, but, you know, it definitely happened here. And I also think back fondly on my friends. You know, we've all gone our separate ways since then, but Operation Infinite Christmas really did bring out the best, I think, in us. And I know, looking back on it now, that it was the last time we'd ever really work together, you know, towards a common goal or on a common project. And I think also, you know, finally, in that vein, we've all sort of compromised over the years. You know, we've all grown away from youthful idealism to varying degrees. But it's nice around this time of year to remember that we were teenage freedom fighters once. And, you know, we tried. And although we ultimately failed and drastically underestimated how difficult it was to change the world around us, we made that attempt, which I think is something, and is definitely something I don't ever want to forget. So that's my story. I hope you found it somewhat enjoyable, and I wish you and yours and all the WPRB listeners out there a very merry and a very infinite Christmas.